Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Between the Lines, a podcast from Backpage that tells the stories behind great sports writing. I'm Neil White, and in the last episode, I spoke to Marcus Christensen, the football editor at The Guardian, about the work that goes into their annual poll of the top 100 footballers in the world. If you haven't heard that one, please do check it out. For these shorter bonus episodes, we ask all our guests about their favourite sports book, and I asked Marcus about his.
As you know, at the end of Between the Lines recordings, we always ask our guest about their favourite sports book. And having spoken about what it takes to compile the top 100 lists for The Guardian, Marcus Christensen has agreed to reveal his choice. So, Marcus, what book have you chosen?
I have chosen Joe McGuinness's The Miracle of Castel di Sangro.
Fantastic. Do you remember roughly when you first came across this book? Because it's one that people discover at various points. It's a book that never goes away. When did you first read it, do you think?
I am pretty sure that I read it fairly early on. It was a great time. I think it was early 2000s, which is just when it came out, I believe. And I was doing freelancing for a Swedish paper, Dagens Nyheter. I had a bit more time and was still improving my English, having come over from Sweden in 1995. And it was just, it really grabbed me, and it was a page turner, and it had so many aspects of what I like. It had the colorful language, it had Italian football, it had drama, it was funny. And especially for me, I think coming from Sweden, where in newspapers, certainly the language is quite dry. I've been to Germany, the language is even drier, if that's a term, and so on. And it was just nice to come to England with the lively journalism in papers and in books and so on. And for a non-native speaker, English is a tremendously rich language. And I was learning new words all the time, writing them down as my dad told me to, and putting them into sentences when I wrote them down, looking them up and so on. So obviously, reading a book was quite time consuming, but this one I can't even remember whether I bothered, because I read it so quickly that it just ended. But it felt fresh. It was something new, and it was something I'd never read before.
I wonder, Marcus, if there would have been an attraction in the fact that you were reading about an outsider to a different sort of footballing culture, landing in a different country and sort of finding a way into that culture through football. Now, Joe's Italian is obviously probably a long way short of what your English was then. I think he struggles very much so with his Italian at the start of the story. But there are probably parallels in where you were in your travels and where Joe was in his.
Absolutely. I think that traveling has always been in my family and for me very important, and picking up languages and so on. My parents, in fact, sent me to the US to stay with some of their friends when I was 13 for 2 months in Oregon. I went to school for 1 month, and then they sent me to Germany when I was 18 to work in a hotel. And so on. And it is lonely at times and so on, but it's given me so much. And he was obviously in a similar position. And in the end, actually, I went to Italy in 2001 and worked and lived there for 8 months. And I think I was partly inspired by him describing the country and the language, which is probably the most beautiful language in the world.
Had you already had a sort of entry into Italian football? I mean, it had been at that stage the top league in Europe in terms of quality for some time. Had you been able to see a lot of it.
Like most people in this country, probably was Football Italia and James Richardson and the weekend highlight really at university, because we didn't have Sky at home, and that was the highlights program on Saturday mornings, and then the Sunday live action. But in Sweden, Italian football was quite popular, so I had watched quite a lot up until 1995 when I moved to the UK, and obviously the Milan team of between kind of 90 to 94 was absolutely tremendous, and so on. So Italian football has always been close to my heart, but it wasn't until I started reading and then obviously moving over there that you realize how obsessed they are and how different it is in a way, that all the discussions are very tactical, the match fixing is, it's just there, and some people don't even blink an eyelid to see that it's, or try to work out why it's happening and so on. So it's a completely different culture around football while it's still the same game.
It's funny as well how much that plays into the story, Joe McGinnis's story. It's quite a bitter ending. All the way through, it's one of those great examples of if a journalist actually travels those miles and puts in the hard yards, sometimes magical things happen and tragic things happen and dramatic things happen. And that book seems to have just about every aspect of the sort of human kaleidoscope in it.
Yes, absolutely. He was obviously quite lucky as well that can't be in many seasons like that in Europe in the last 30 years. And it probably wouldn't happen now in a way, because everything is so documented through social media and our knowledge of the foreign leagues have improved as well. So, but I mean, fair play to him. He set off. He had this hunch he must have had, and it worked out beautifully. You could almost not make it up, but it's a wonderfully vibrant book, and it's a joy to read, actually.
Thanks to Marcus Christensen for talking to me for this episode of Between the Lines, which is a Backpage podcast produced by me, Neil White, and Martin Gregg. Music by Michael McGarry.